Crypto 101 now in session.
Professor, I have a question.
Welcome, welcome, boys and girls, to Crypto 104. This is our fourth session, and I'm hoping this actually might be the most important session we do. I feel like we've answered some questions along the way, but I think this one's going to answer like the main question that people might have about cryptocurrency and Bitcoin in general. We actually already did this episode, and somebody, I'm not saying names, it might have been the noob, I don't know, but somebody messed up the audio, and yeah, that was really bad. By somebody, it was definitely me, and I was like, I'll give you a little snippet.
He can't control it.
Yeah, so we got a little echo in there. Someone decided not to plug in his headphones. That may or may not have been me. And so here we go. But the good news is we already went over the history, and FOMO and the noob kind of already know the answers to the test now. So this is actually kind of good. So we might be able to actually help the discussion along. But I wanted to just start from the very beginning. I wanted you to just tell us about Bitcoin, and you know, I call you the professor because this might come out boring and long because sometimes history is boring, but I feel like there was so much good stuff in that first episode that we messed up that I really wanted to like go over it. So why don't you go ahead and take it from the top? Tell us about like where it came from and just go from there.
All right, you got it. All right, so it all started with a guy named Satoshi Nakamoto is his name. And nobody actually knows who he is, which is the funny thing. Nobody knows who he is, but he created Bitcoin. It all kind of started. It all started back in 2009 when we had our big crash, our housing market crash, and kind of went through that recession there, 2009, 2010. When everything fell, he decided that he did not like the way that governments were handling currencies, you know, in general. So he was kind of anti-government in a way, in the sense that he didn't like the way that the governments controlled the financial systems and the decisions that they make and how it causes these ups and downs in economies and in some countries. In some countries' cases.
Does anyone know? Or is that just
picture. Yeah, like some old Chinese dude. He might not even be Chinese. Yeah, might be some. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, so if you look around,
you hit on the one point though. So he did this because why? Because he didn't like the way the government, obviously the United States. You're talking about the 2009, all that stuff, the bubble that crashed. So you're just saying he just didn't like the way money was handled. Is that what you're saying?
Right. Yes, he felt like if there's a way to empower the people more in a financial system, that he'd prefer that way. And that way was created through creating the blockchain and creating Bitcoin, because it was a network that couldn't be controlled by the government. It was controlled by all the people involved in transacting Bitcoin or mining Bitcoin and being being nodes validating the network, and not the government being in control of it and saying what they're going to do and how much money they're going to print, how much money they're not going to print, and what they will and will not allow, you know. So, yeah. So he created Bitcoin, and when he created Bitcoin, he came out with a white paper on it. So everybody needs to go. If you haven't looked at the Bitcoin white paper, it's like a 6-page explanation of what Bitcoin is and what its purpose is. And he built it for the purpose of people transacting a new form of currency under the control of the people through the whole world.
Yeah, I'll post the link to that. And if you're watching on the YouTube, which I don't know how you would because I don't post them, but if for some reason you're watching on the thing, I'm looking at it right now, but I will share the link to that. So if you go to the show page, we'll have a link for that.
There you go. And so that was his original idea. He created Bitcoin to become a new way of transacting.
Time out. So FOMO, we've already heard this. We already knew about this. Did you go and read the white paper yet? Neither have I.
I haven't.
Sorry.
It might be a little. It might be a little complicated, but I mean, the explanations there is of how the network works. However, it just breaks it down.
Yeah, reclaiming disk space and combining and splitting value.
So it's
might be a little technical.
Yes, yes. For
we
sure.
We might have to take a quiz on this.
So yeah, just you can look at it. Just don't. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe don't look at it. But anyway, the proof of what it is and how it works is there. And he created it to be in a way that where he couldn't control it himself. So he was like the first person who started mining Bitcoin himself. So he got the first Bitcoins in the network. And as news kind of started spreading about this Bitcoin thing and how this blockchain technology, you know, there was everything from people loving it to people just totally mocking it and saying it's a joke. It's a place where you can, you know, swindle money. You know, the dirty money goes
right?
through
yeah,
cryptocurrency.
Money laundering. Yeah. That's yeah, right. What was that one? Yeah, that one show was the meth and all that. I can't remember. Oh, Breaking Bad, right? Like Breaking Bad would have used Bitcoin.
Yeah, right. No, and so I mean, and you know, it could be used for that, just like anything. Other currency has been used for it, right?
So what was the first price? I'm sure you told us. I don't even remember. What was there an initial price for it?
Nothing. It wasn't worth anything originally. He was just started mining the Bitcoin.
So he just had like millions of Bitcoins worth absolutely squadoosh.
Right. Right. So he just created it hoping that it would eventually catch on. And I mean, the technology was there. The security was there with it. The decentralization, the lack of control was all there. So he knew what he had created and saw the potential of it.
That and the security was the value, I think, is the security that no one can tap into it or hack into it. And even though, yeah, in the beginning it was worth, you know, in dollars amount, nothing, but there was already value there that a lot of people saw. And once it caught on, that's where the value continues to increase, because then more people buy it, because there's only 21 million Bitcoins out there, and people are either buying a full Bitcoin or a fraction of Bitcoin. And so the more and more people are buying it and seeing the value in having something that's secure like that, where there's a peer-to-peer transaction that's really easy without an intermediate person kind of charging you.
Yeah, I think that's still the most like mystified, like even as you're saying it, and this is the second time I've heard it through, like even as you're saying it, I'm still like, it's worth nothing. Like there's no like gold. There's nothing backs this up. All that backs it up is just what you said, FOMO, security and decentralization. That's it. Like literally it's some ideas that got put in like in motion. And now it's worth as we speak, like $57,000. That it blows my mind. Anyways, why don't you take this?
It was worth, what was it? How many thousands of Bitcoin that guy bought some pizzas with
10,000,
back in 2000.
Right?
Yeah.
10,000 Bitcoin for two large pizzas, probably with no tip. What a jerk.
Back in like 2011, something like that. When it started to be worth a little bit. Yeah. Yeah,
so
I'm sure that guy feels special.
Yeah, right. So if you can. So that's kind of like the genesis of it. That's how it starts. So when did it kind of start to take off, right? So you're talking, this is 2011. I didn't hear about Bitcoin. I probably heard about it a few years ago, but to be honest, it wasn't until, you know, Kyle sitting in my living room telling me about Bitcoin, you know, so we're talking not even 5 months ago, that I really started paying attention to it. And I obviously know people paid attention to it in 2017. Like, I know there was a big crash, but kind of tell me, when did it like really like catch on, if you could?
So after the first 4 years of Bitcoin starting to be mined and people starting to, you know, be mining it and validating the network, and so after they create so many blocks in the blockchain, you know, which Bitcoin runs on, the amount of Bitcoin that miners receive gets cut in half, called the halving. So,
all right, so wait, let's back up. So, because you hit on some points. So first off, so there's this 21 million Bitcoin, like Kyle was saying. So, and these miners, because I know people are going to hear it's like a miner, like what's a miner? But anyways, a miner and obviously from listening to this, I know in advance now, but so a miner is basically someone who's like doing the accounting, right? So they're kind of like checking the things, and their reward for doing that is a certain amount of Bitcoin, right?
Yeah, exactly. Every time they complete a transaction, they process a transaction in the blockchain, the network gives them a
new
reward.
Block, and then they get a reward, right? Okay.
Yeah. And then, yeah, so that all happens automatically through the network.
And so what you're saying is that number is dwindling in half, right? So that's what you were just about to get to, the halving?
Right. So I think it's 21,000 blocks. Every time there's like 21,000 blocks made, the network automatically cuts in half the rewards that miners get. So if there's half the supply going through the miners, so how it gets, how Bitcoin gets into the markets and everything is through the miners. The miners receive it through the blockchain network, and then they have to sell it to run their computers to pay for their power, right?
Yeah.
So that's how all the Bitcoin gets out in the markets. And so they're constantly mining it, getting it, you know, cashing it out so they can pay for their power and everything else. And so after that 21,000 blocks, though, the amount they get gets cut in half. So what does that do for the supply going into the market? It gets cut in half. So he purposely made Bitcoin to be something that would become more and more scarce, that would inflate instead of deflate over time, like all of our money deflates like crazy, right? So so probably after that first halving, like 2013, the price pumped like crazy. You know, it went up like 7,000 or 8,000% because of that supply shock and the people that were just kind of messing around with it. You know, it kind of, they saw the price actually go up, you know, and we're like, holy cow, look at this. And so it started catching attention. People thought it was this crap, you know, it was garbage. You know, Bitcoin is just a funny money, you know, and
funny money.
It would never, a place for, you know, the dark stuff to be happening, just black market stuff. And that's all the libertarians, you know, want, you know, you have the libertarians on one side who love Bitcoin who are like, you know, kind of anti-government, but then the people who were on the other side looking at it, like at this point in time, you know, back in 2013, just like totally like afraid of it. You know what I mean? So there's so early, there was the anti people, like anti-government, like pro Bitcoin or like hardcore people, and like the people totally against it.
Yeah. Like, we don't like the government, but we don't want you to buy guns from Russia.
Right. Right. So that was the first time I got attention, though.
Okay, so I'm gonna put FOMO on the spot here. So do you know, I looked this up, so I know the answer. And I don't know if we talked about this the first time around, but do you know how many coins they initially got once they mined a node? Do you know what they got for their first transactions? Yeah.
What the miners used to get?
Well, they get bitcoins. Yeah. So they mine the node and they get X amount of bitcoins. Do you know what that was?
I don't know. I'd say
Professor, tell us the answer. Do you know the answer?
I know it's in the thousands. I don't even know what the answer is. Craig, come on, newbie. The newbie, tell us.
Supposedly Natasha got like millions of it, but then, it went to thousands. And then supposedly right now it's right around like, I think it's at 25 or something. I might be, even if you got 25 Bitcoin, I'll have to like, now I'm actually like second guessing myself. I actually thought it was 50, and then it went down to whatever. But let me see. I'll fact check that. Man, look at me. I'm trying to fact check.
They're mining 900 a day right now. 900.
900. So they get, the reward is 900 a day.
Yeah, that's what the miners are getting. That's what miners throughout the whole blockchain. That's what they're receiving. That's how much new Bitcoin's being created a day right now.
A day. Okay. So individually, though, and
there's,
I guess
there's 18 million Bitcoin that have been created at this point. So that number is just going up 900 every day.
Gotcha. All right.
So to get back on the deep end, I think the with that history of Bitcoin, and we kind of hit on this last time, and you mentioned this, Craig, that with Bitcoin's always been increasing in value, and in 2017 it shot up a ton. Whether that's because that's the first time I've heard of it, but I was like. Like you said, it was funny money to me. It was like, kid, it doesn't make sense. I don't understand how that works, cryptocurrency. So I just never even looked into it. But a lot of people bought into it, and the prices kept climbing and climbing and climbing. And Billy might, the professor might know a little bit more on why it dipped as much as it did, but it was a huge dip that scared a lot of people off, and a lot of people thought it lost its credibility, but it gave more people the opportunity to invest in it again when it was at a lower rate. And it was in the hundreds, so it wasn't a crazy amount like it is now. But do you know why it dipped in 2017?
Yeah, so when I was talking about those, that halving, you know, every time so many blocks are created, the amount of Bitcoin created or given, rewarded, gets cut in half. So every time that happens, it's happened, this is the fourth time. It happened in 2013, 2017. Oh, wait, third time. And so every time we've had this happen, there eventually becomes this price, this supply shock. So, and it roughly happens every 4 years. So that's why the 2013, the 2017, and now 2021, we're seeing the prices go up again because of just of how the network runs and the amount of time it takes to get to that point to make a halving happen. It takes about 4 years. So it takes about a year to 18 months roughly before you start seeing that supply shock happen, where you see the amount of Bitcoin dropping in the markets and so creating the prices to skyrocket. And so we're in the middle of that right now. So, but what usually happens after the price had skyrocketed is that the price would crash like 90%. So if you look at the charts, if you ever look at the Bitcoin charts, you'll see them go up and down like big time. So that's why is that it's been so speculative and not looked at by serious investors like it is this cycle, that people were afraid of it. They'd buy in, and after that money took off, they just took profits and the markets would just crash. And people, there's still that fear of, our government's going to ban this. Like, there was a ton of things to be afraid of about Bitcoin and uncertainty about it and people just creating fear with it. So super speculative, super volatile.
Fear-mongers.
Exactly. Right. So that's why you'd see those dramatic rises in price, because people would just rush in and buy it. And then people would FOMO in and buy it at the peak, and then boom, and it would tank. And so tons of people, you probably see or hear a lot from people. You'll hear it one way or another, where people made a ton of money or people lost a ton of money on Bitcoin because they bought in at the high points. So
okay,
those are just
I actually have a question for you. We have a question from one of our loyal listeners who's been here for all three episodes, and they want to know, and this is a question for all three of us, and mine is going to be very simple, but they want to know, A, what is the best investment you made? You didn't want specifics, like you don't have to say anything. What's the best investment you made, and what's the one you missed out on? So, and that's obviously pretty vague. We've obviously only talked about Bitcoin, but they were just curious because it has been around, like you're saying, super speculative. And anybody I've talked to lots of people nowadays about it, but anyone you know has a story of what they missed out on or what they, whatever. So, Professor, why don't you go ahead and tell us what is the one thing that you hit and the one thing that you missed out on?
Well, I mean, So I mean, I got in at a good time for this cycle on Bitcoin and Ethereum and Celsius tokens. I got in early on that stuff. But there's people who got in even earlier than me, like 2017, 2013. I guess it just depends on how you look at it, really. So I think I nailed it on the crypto stuff. I mean, the thing I missed.
You haven't missed out on anything. You're just that good.
Yeah. Well, I just got that lucky to hear about it at the right time. But the thing I missed, I mean, I didn't get into Tesla. I didn't buy Tesla stock.
Or Google. The same thing.
Yes. Even buying like real estate. Real estate's out of control right now. It's like, I kind of wish I would have bought a house like a year ago or 2 years ago. Good grief.
Yeah, that would work. So you're perfect in crypto, but you're terrible at everything else. Got it. FOMO, what about you?
I would say Bitcoin and Bitcoin. When I was first told, when my friend first told me about it in 2017, I looked back at the around the time and he told me, and it was worth like $300.
Oh.
And awesome. And had I had a crystal ball, yep. When I bought into it, I could have got a big. From when I actually bought into it,
you would have been the professor.
A lot more. So.
Yes, you would have.
And so, but at the same time, so that was kind of my loss. My gain was just months ago. I bought in October. So, and it was around, what was it? I think it was around 15,000 or something like that. And that, you know, and so, but just in however many months, 7 months, it's just gone crazy. And like I was going to mention before you answer, Craig, and we'll kind of hit on this again, but with Bitcoin, I know we'll talk a little bit more about other coins like Billy mentioned, but with Bitcoin, its history has always been an increase on the incline. And you had a map or a little graph last time you showed, but basically it's been the history of it. And so I'll let you go ahead and answer
yours.
Well,
I've missed on everything,
Greg.
So I think that's the only thing I hope to hit on will be Cardano and SafeMoon. We don't need to talk about SafeMoon, but yeah, don't even bother. But needless to say, I own 23 million tokens of SafeMoon. My next thing would be... I wish I was joking.
Watch out.
So, watch out. If that hits, I won't need to do this podcast ever again. But
just send a tweet to Elon. Hey, can you just save this one?
I bought his other dumb Dogecoin too. So, but that's who I am. I'm like, I didn't think I was FOMO. I was very like, I'm just gonna buy Bitcoin, maybe some Ethereum, maybe some Celsius. But instead, I think I have like 6 different tokens that I kind of regret. So, but who knows? One day I won't regret it. Maybe a year from now, I'll be like, oh man, I'm glad I bought that. But I'm trying to learn from you too. So we'll figure it out. But I guess the overall point is though, like I mean, you talk about new. I'm like new. Like I am the noob. Like so if anyone's out there listening to, we're not financial advisors. We don't know anything. These are just opinions and what we've learned and read, blah, blah, blah. But B, it's really not too late. So, I mean, it's really not. Like, I don't know. Anyways.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the next thing I did want to talk about was the price of Bitcoin. And Kyle, you kind of hit on that. It's crazy. I mean, it's like it went from, you know, nothing all the way up to like $57,000. And I mean, it's hit above 60. I don't know what its all time high is, but it's something over 60, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, kind of explain. And I think we've kind of hit on it a little bit, but like just the volatility, as they call it, like, go ahead, Professor, like give us a rundown of why it's so volatile. Cause I mean, you look at Tesla and Google and they're all volatile and they all have their own like dips and stuff, but and again, I'm amateur. I know nothing, but I swear, like Bitcoin's way more volatile than some of those other things. And I don't know if that's good or bad. So go ahead.
No, you're right. It's extremely volatile. So some people love that, and a lot of people hate it. So I mean, the problem with it, I mean, and if you look now at this cycle, things are actually a lot more stable. But in the past, like there's been a lot of people who just speculatively come in and buy Bitcoin, and are out of it. You know what I mean? As soon as like the price dump and there's manipulation. I mean, there's manipulation in this market in Bitcoin, just like any other markets where there's a, you know, there's whales out there who own tons and tons of Bitcoin and they, you know, and things, you know, they just do stuff just like in a traditional market to make the prices fall. And, but it happens a lot more in crypto. A lot more people are, you know, afraid of crypto and will sell as soon as the price starts dropping, which if you look back at the 2017 price rise, it dropped like 25-30%, like 8 or 9 times through its whole rise. Like it dropped significantly compared to traditional
like
market.
It looks like it hit around 17,000. That was probably somewhere around its high. And then, I guess a year later it was at 3,500. So that's crazy.
Yeah, but I mean, if you really zoom into their charts, they're just like all over the place. But if you look at this cycle, we have a lot more adoption happening on the institutional side of things. There's always been retail investors, normal people like you and me. But now the institutions are getting heavily involved. I mean, people like Fidelity and Guggenheim, like these asset managers who are planning on holding Bitcoin for the long haul. You know, they're not just in it to get in real quick and make a quick buck and get out. You know, they're looking at it as like this is a hedge against the inflating dollar, and they all have their cash reserves and they're allocating part of their cash reserves to Bitcoin because they see the writing on the wall with where our dollar is going and where a lot of countries' dollars are going.
Yeah, and to add that, there's a I was watching a video today about someone talking about the the value of the dollar decreasing, and I think it was every 3-year period, about 15% the decrease of the dollar is what someone's guesstimating and estimating it will happen with all this money that's just being printed like crazy right now, especially right now. With inflation and stuff like that, they expect, you know, Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies to just skyrocket even more so than what they had originally projected. And so just because, you know, in the distant future, someone can make $1 million, everyone will be making $1 million, but it just enough to pay the bills, you know, just with the inflation. And so with cryptocurrency, it holds a little more value, but I'm kind of getting over my head with that, just watching one video. But
no, I mean, I can chime in here. Like, I might be the noob on the crypto, but I'm not a noob when it comes to inflation and 401ks, because sadly, I think both of you two are your own owners. So I don't know what your 401ks are looking like, but it's sad. Like, just in the, you know, I work at Costco, just in the 12 years I've been there, when I originally had my 401k, like, oh, you need like $1 million and you'll be able to retire at age 65. You open up my 401k now, it's like, you need $3 million and you can retire at the age 89. Like, it keeps going up, like the price. And that's not them trying to get more money out of me. That's just them realizing that, like, oh, like a gallon of gas, no longer a dollar. Like, you know, I mean, just everything just goes up, 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 and up, and up. And the value of the dollar keeps going down, 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 and down.
Yeah, and something to note with that is that's just what happens when you don't back your assets with, you know, you don't back your currency with something that's real. They got out of the U.S. got out of the gold standard in 1972, I believe. They dropped out of the gold standard where they were backing all their money by gold. And so now that's allowed for them to print whenever they feel like they need to. And just in the last year, I think they've printed like, what is it, like 70% of money that's ever been printed in the last year alone.
Wow.
Like, just like trillions. I mean, you hear about a new stimulus, you hear about this, you hear about that, and it's, oh, it's a trillion, this 2 trillion, 1.5 trillion. You know, it's just like they're just going crazy money printing.
So I got a story for you. I got a guy at work, he took his stimulus check. He's like, and he bought Ethereum, and he bought it at like $1,500. And guess what? It's like $2,100, or you know, whatever it was. So, hey, you did pretty good. So he took some of that funny money and bought other funny money. And
yeah, and it's going to be a struggle. I mean, I don't think we've really seen the effects of what's happening. I mean, we're seeing it now. Like, prices for everything are going up, and you see like service, like any you know, with what I do with farming and stuff, I'm calling all these people, like with my auto steer and my pivot parts, and like everything's just like behind, and prices are going up right now. It's like, oh man, it's getting gnarly. I mean, you look at countries whose governments inflated their dollar, and there's like countries falling apart right now where their currencies are worthless because they've just printed it into oblivion, and we're heading in that same direction. Like, I don't know if we're printing it in oblivion, but
so the reason why we're talking about this in the first place is because, like we mentioned, Bitcoin has only there's only a certain allotment of Bitcoin. There's 21 million Bitcoin, period. Once it's reached, it's reached. And so it's like saying, you know, there basically, that's why the value can go up so much more than the dollar that we think of right now, is because there's only so much that can ever be sold. And if people are holding on to it, like a lot of companies will be, like you think of all these companies, Expedia even accepts Bitcoin. Well, they, and Tesla, well, you know, they're accepting it and holding it. They're not just turning it around, turning it into cash. They're going to, because they want to have cover their assets for this, the future that, you know, that we're all going to be living in. And they know that the future is going to be cryptocurrency, you know, whether people like it or not. And so it's, people are going to be, all these big companies that are like, the professor mentioned, he has a larger list than I do. But I think, Billy, if you could just list off the top of your head these larger companies, and this is why I got FOMO into crypto, because Billy had mentioned this to me, and the professor had, he was talking to me about it again. I was like, yeah, that makes sense. And I was doing some of my research, and then I saw these companies really get into it. All these banks buying up Chase, Citi, JP Morgan, all these companies were just buying up Bitcoin like crazy. Tesla, $1.5 billion worth of Bitcoin. And I got in before Tesla, so hey, there you go. But so it adds more value, adds validity to it, to Bitcoin. And so they're going to be holding on to it. And that's a nice thing. Those who are more of just day traders are going to be trading here and there and everywhere. But I think for the majority of the Bitcoin will be held by these large companies, which will affect the price and keeping it going, heading upward.
Yeah, you make a great point. And I'm kind of just trying to wrap this episode up because I, and again, there's like so many more things we could talk about. Like I think Ethereum by itself is a great topic. But what I just kind of want to, like what you say. So like, obviously the dollar deflating, we're talking about all these crazy things like people holding on to Bitcoin. But I think, and this is what will kind of spill over into the next episode, but and I know I asked you guys both this question on the last podcast, and so I don't even need your answers because it's a pretty obvious one. But Bitcoin is kind of turning in more to this hold, like it's a reserve, right? Like Bitcoin is kind of taking the place of gold. Like I would not go to Costco and shop with my Bitcoin. Even if they let me, I wouldn't do it, right? Like, and I think most people, you know, just all the stuff you guys are saying, anybody who's caught on to that and most likely owns some of it is probably not selling, you know, probably not going to buy, you know, 4 gallons of milk at Costco with their Bitcoin. But the cool thing, and we can talk about this in maybe the next episode, is that Bitcoin really opened up this, I'm going to say Pandora's box. I'm sure there's a better word for it. But just this plethora of other ways to use a cryptocurrency. Like it kind of set the blueprint for everything. And now, and again, we have, there's like 100 different things we could talk about, decentralized banking and just all these different cryptocurrencies that are on the market right now. But you guys got any final thoughts just on like the history of Bitcoin or like kind of where it came from and not really where it's gone? Cause
I'll say something. So like you were saying, it is looked at like a gold, like more like a gold right now, like a cash reserve. And Satoshi's, you know, his vision was for it to be a currency. And if the price gets high enough, it could eventually get to that point where people are using it to transact. And it creates equality for everybody. If you think of people in Africa, like Venezuela, where they're any other countries where these people's currencies are worth trash and they're living in a rough lifestyle, this gives opportunity for everybody to be a part of a financial system and be an equal, be able to increase their quality of life. So it has potential to be really useful and helpful one day, but it, for now it is reserve. But it could potentially, if the price goes higher and higher and becomes more stable, the higher it goes, and that will happen, the higher it goes, the more stable it will become. It could be looked at as something that people use as a currency. So.
That's good to know. Kyle, you got any final thoughts? Because you're actually going to sign us off. I'm terrible. I can open. I can do everything. But you're going to sign us off. So go ahead and give us your final thoughts and say goodbye to the people.
Yeah, I think Billy's spot on. I really think it's the way of the future, whether it's Bitcoin and the other cryptocurrencies, which we kind of hit on a little bit, and we'll go on into other episodes. Because there are a lot of other cryptocurrencies out there. There's everyone's been trying to replicate Bitcoin. There's been over 10,500 and that was like a month ago, so way more. But and we'll talk about, yes, right, we'll talk about some of those others, I'm sure. But in just with Bitcoin in general, I think it's I think it's definitely the way of the future. And you don't have to buy a full Bitcoin. I mean, hardly anybody will be able to do that. And so you can buy fractions of a Bitcoin. I mean, very, 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 very small fractions of Bitcoin. It's like 0.00000001 of Bitcoin. And so if I wouldn't refinance your house for it or pull your equity out of your house to do this. But I mean, if you can put whatever you can in, like I said, not a financial advisor. I just, if you want to diversify, I think it'd be a good opportunity to do so. So it's, whatever you can put in, I think it'd be great. And we're getting the final wave, so it's gonna sign us off till next time.
That was good. That was good.
Thank you for listening, and please remember that these gentlemen are not financial advisors.